We also want to welcome each one this evening to the house of the Lord. Thank our brother for his sincere prayer and for each one of you who have been praying. We'd ask you to continue to pray. I feel that after the service this morning and the admonishing we have received, that we would have enough to digest in the coming week. But maybe we can add to that some from God's word. The subject is entitled this evening, Knowing and Trusting God. Knowing and Trusting God. As we encounter God through the Bible and through His creation, He seems so expansive, and complex that we wonder if we're capable of knowing Him at all. At other times, the God of our Christian experience is so intimate and familiar that we lose sight of His greatness. He is our Heavenly Father who knows our every need, to whom we take every sorrow. The Scripture reveals that God is so great that we can never understand Him completely. But He wants to be known by us. He has created each one of us for a relationship with Himself. And He has placed within us a desire to know Him. He also wants us to trust Him above anyone or anything around us. I appreciated the first song that was sang this evening, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, which fits in very well with the sermon tonight. We want to look at a number of verses together. And as we do this, we want to learn how to know and trust God better. The first section of verses I'd like for you to turn to is in Psalm 63, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 3. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. I see the power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. This prayer is about longing. David was in the desert when he wrote this psalm. He was hiding from his enemy. He was longing to be back in Jerusalem in the sanctuary where he could worship. He rises early in the morning. He's thirsty. He's not thirsty for water. He's thirsty for God, who is the first thing he wants in the morning. In his spiritual life, he has wandered in the desert, yearning for a drink. He was like a deer in the desert hills of Psalm 42:1. As a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. This is a panting heart, the thirsty heart, the hungry heart that can be satisfied only by the presence and the power of God. David wanted to see God's power manifested in his life, God's glory revealed in worship and praise from his own lips. What do you long for in life? Is it another car, a bigger house, financial success, self-honor? Right now, if you were to write down the three things you most desire, would knowing and experiencing God be on the top of that list? Do I need the desire that the Apostle Paul had in Philippians 3:8? He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He also had a prayer for the Ephesian brethren, 1:17, that they might grow in the knowledge of God. Do we need to pray, oh God, I want you in my life. Sometimes I feel dry and thirsty. I need more power, your loving kindness. Help me to praise you more. Is that our desire tonight? The second group of verses we like to look at in knowing and trusting God is in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and verse 24. When you open your Bibles to that. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What do you glory in? What do I glory in? To glory in something means to boast about it. What do you boast about? You know, we live among people today in the world who glory in their wisdom. They want degrees back in their names so people think they're smart. They want people to know how smart they are. Professional athletes boast about their physical strength and skill. People boast about their ability and leadership and control of others. Many people glory in their riches. It seems by their display of clothing, houses, and cars, fallen human beings glory in their own wisdom, strength, and wealth. Jeremiah says that the Lord says, if you're going to boast, boast about this, that you know me and understand me. How strong is that desire in my life and in your life to know him and understand him? Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen ye, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Loved ones of herself, not one of us have anything to boast about. Isn't it amazing how true that a small creature made of dust like you and I can know the God of this universe? God has made himself known to us through Jesus Christ and through his holy word. The relationships that we have with God is more precious than intelligence or strength or wealth. Do you believe that tonight? That is so important that we do. Our knowledge of God is precious to us, but even more, we are precious to him. In Jeremiah, why the scripture I mentioned in chapter 9, verse 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in riches, but him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And then take notice to that last phrase, for in these things I delight. God delights when we know him. We want to know him, and we want to serve him. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The only way we can really know God is how. I believe it's the proper use of our time. Every one of us has the same time every day. But how much time do we use in learning to know God? In prayer. and seeking his face, seeking his will every day of our life, reading and studying his love letter should be a challenge to all of us. The third portions of scripture I'd like to look at in knowing and trusting God are found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I think all these verses fit together. Scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This commandment really gets to the core of our Christian living. How complete is my trust in the Lord? How complete is your trust in the Lord? With all your heart means that we trust him with everything. Everything in life. It means to trust the Lord no matter what comes, whether it's good or bad. Whatever trial we may face, maybe it's a job concern, a health concern, or our temptations that we have to put up with. Three commands are given here. First of all, to trust means to rely on, depend on God. That should be our first. Lean not, don't depend on your own thinking. Too many times we do things in our own thinking and not taking God at his word. And thirdly, acknowledge him, having fellowship through prayer and holy living. Acknowledge him on a daily basis. Whenever we have decisions or choices, call out to God for guidance and direction. Then the promise is God's direction and guidance. When things in our lives seem out of control, we need to remember that God loves us and in all things he is working for our eternal good, even though we don't understand it. We do not understand everything that happens to us, but we need to learn to trust God rather than trusting our own ability to understand everything he allows. You know, Job was a perfect and upright man. God says that. He loved and obeyed God. He had more problems than most of us can imagine. He lost his family, his cattle, his crops, his wealth. He had boils all over his body. If you ever had one boil in your body, you know how that hurt. But it was all over his body. He only had his wife, and she told him to curse God and die. His friends accused him falsely. And Job asked the Lord, "Why? Why all this, Lord?" And how many of us have done that at times when we've been through fiery trials? My heart is right. I'm a man of integrity. I have no idea why all this is happening to me. Job did not know that God was allowing Satan to test his faith, to prove that saving faith cannot be broken by tragedy. Our brother in the sermon this morning brought that out very clearly, how important it is to have a saving faith that is secure in the Lord. Job asked God to explain to him why he was suffering. In Job 38:1, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Desire if thou hast understanding.'" And as we look at chapters 38 and 39, you see the details that God shared of his greatness. God in these three chapters asked why I should explain these things to you, Job. What makes you think you would understand anyway? And finally, in Job 42, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou can do all things, everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" Job was saying, "I'm sorry I even question you, God. I'm just going to trust you, whatever it is. In response to that trust, God gave Job back greater blessings than he ever had before. We cannot lean on our own interpretations of the things that happen in our lives. We need to lean on him and trust him wholeheartedly, because he will open a path that we never expected if we would trust him. The fourth group of verses I'd like to look at is in Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Learning, knowing, and trusting God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. This well-known benediction contains a wealth of spiritual truth for us to receive. If we want to grow spiritually, walk straight and not stumble, then we must yield ourselves fully to the Savior. He alone is able to guide us, but we must keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude 21 says. He is able if we are willing. How willing are we to be in his will? He has reminded us in our daily walk with the Lord, there's a danger of us going astray and stumbling. When we disobey, we need to do, as 1 John 1:9 says, confess and receive forgiveness. In verse 24 of this verse, it says, present you faultless. Jesus Christ will have a special joy. And remember this word joy. Jesus Christ will have a special joy of presenting his bride, the church, before the Father's throne. The purpose of salvation is not simply to rescue sinners from hell, as wonderful as that is. The grand purpose is that God may be glorified throughout all eternity. Let's look at a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. The purpose was for God the Father to get the praise. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The purpose again for us is to bring praise to him. And verse 14, which is the earnestness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Again, the purpose is to bring praise to him. You know, today there are spots and blemishes in the church. But at that day, as God's people, will be blameless. He'll present you faultless with exceeding joy. Loved ones, I'm looking forward to that time. I fail now, but then we will be faultless, and he will present us to the Father with exceeding joy. Oh, how we need to live lives faithfully that will bring joy to God the Father. That's serious stuff. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth him not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. That should be a challenge to each one of us. Let's look at some words here in verse 25. Some outstanding statements that speaks about our Savior, my Savior. Wise God. Any wisdom that comes from the wise God never makes any mistakes. Remember that. Never makes any mistakes. The wisdom of God. James 1:5 says, he gives wisdom to us when we ask him. And oh, how we need to seek that wisdom from him. The next word I want to look at there is glory. That's listed. Glory is a great honor and admiration won by doing something important or valuable, a highest achievement. Glory is the sum total of all that God is and all that he does. A great honor and admiration done by something, by doing something important and valuable. What could be more valuable than God the Father asking his Son to die for my sin and for your sin, and to allow the Holy Spirit to live in our life to lead us day by day? The next word there is majesty, which means greatness. When we praise God, we praise the most magnificent person in the universe, one who is above everyone else. Dominion. Dominion means complete control over all things. We think sometimes it looks like the devil's having a heyday, and it appears that way. But let's remember, one of these days, God is going to have complete dominion over all things. And then the word power means authority to use his power. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we can trust. And that's a God that we want to glorify. Jude is reminded us of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Jude says, the enemy is all around us. The dangers are great. But the only wise God, our Savior, will keep us safe and one day present us blameless to enjoy God's eternal glory. Are you looking forward to that time? In his providence, God knows how much joy and sorrow, how much pleasure and pain, how much prosperity and poverty is proper for his child. He knows the correct balance of sunshine and storm, the precise mixture of darkness and light. It takes to perfect a son and daughter of his. I want to reread that. In his providence, God knows how much joy and sorrow, how much pleasure and pain, how much prosperity and poverty is proper for his child. He knows the correct balance of sunshine and storm, the precise mixture of darkness and light it takes to perfect a son and a daughter of his. What do we have as Christians in being child of God? We have a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a happiness that can never be interrupted, a strength that can never be enfeebled, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, resources that can never be exalted. When we know and are trusting God, that's available to us as God's people. May God bless you.